Oli Pop Rock Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rock de Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hickson Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rock Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show, and I can't see anything. Maybe we'll take this from the top. I don't know. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I am very excited today. Very excited. We have a member of a fantastic band that I really dig. They do Americana, folk, kind of alt country. I don't know what genre to put you guys under. Noble Hops is the name of the band. They're out of Western Pennsylvania in Utah Burgess, I believe, if I'm saying that correctly.
That's correct.
And what a cool name, man. With a name like that, you got to do something.
Got to do something with that. Yeah, absolutely. Run for office. But
you be a movie star, something, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Probably more money running for office, though.
Eventually, I'd get rich, yeah.
They'd try to pay you in crypto. Anyway, hey, this is a great band, everybody. This is a great band. The fine folks over at MTS, Mike Stover and the gang over there, sent me over their press kit a little bit back and said, check these guys out. They're crazy. They're zany. I think you'll dig them, Jamie. I think you'll dig them. And I did. He knows me. They definitely know me over there because I really just really dug it. We're not going to play it today, but if you get a chance, check out The Amish Ninja. By them. It's on my website, and it's also, just put in Amish Ninja. I'm sure it'll be the first thing that pops up, I would think, on YouTube there. And just such a great track. I love it. But I love all the ones we're going to play today. We're going to play a couple. And let me ask you, Utah, how did the Noble Hops come about? I imagine you guys were in other bands and then coalesced, or how did it happen?
Noble Hops, actually, we're going to be celebrating our 15th anniversary on November 15th. Been at it for a good bit. Yeah, it all started out just more as a kind of a bar band acoustic duo thing, but has morphed over the years. And over about the last 4 years or so, I've just decided to put the focus on songs that I have written. And I put a really solid band around me, guys that I've known for a very long time. And we're off to the races.
That's very cool. I'm telling you, the acoustic scene is something I've seen now probably for 10 or 15 years, the rise of it. Every time, I'm not a big craft beer person. My sister and brother-in-law are. So they'll call up. Hey, let's go. Are you feeling spending $16 on a beer? I'm that guy at the craft beer place going, what's the alcohol? This better be approaching vodka level at this price. They're not. But every time we go to one of these places, and it's all fancy people and everything, but there's always an acoustic outfit playing in there. And some guy, and you can tell he's a good musician because they play guitar well. He's got some guy in a washboard that's barefoot behind him doing the rhythm. And that's usually how that's going, or a kick drum maybe. But it's interesting. And they always do some weird, like just very bizarre covers. I was at one and it was like a folk rockabilly version of Hotel California by the Eagles. And I'm like, this shouldn't work. By all that's holy, this should be horrible. But it really sounds good. You know what I mean? And I didn't think it could get better. And then they're like, okay, now we're going to switch over to, I don't know, some song by Pink Floyd off the wall. I was like, holy moly, this is really working. I can't believe it.
Yeah, breweries have provided a lot of opportunity for musicians, local musicians especially. And I even played at one from area you're from, Downey Brewing in Dearborn. So if there's a brewery around and they'll let me play there, I'm in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In my world, in the art world, they're always trying to get you to hang paintings.
Yes.
A lot of people are always bug me. And I'm like, it's great. It's hair salons are the same way. They always want the art in. And that's great. I have no, but that's not their main thing. Selling art, it's cutting hair or selling beers or whatever. Wine bars are like that. And so nothing, I can sell stuff quicker on my own and I don't have to split the pie up any. But if you're a young painter out there or a new painter and you're trying to get your stuff out, because it gives you a little pep in your step, something. If you sell one painting out of 10, that's great. That's one more sale that you didn't have. I'm not putting anything down. I'm just saying, in my experience, probably a little different. I'm a little more hardcore business oriented maybe than they're used to dealing with. That's what my wife tells me, at least. She's, you got to chill out when you're talking. You're supposed to be a painter, man. You're like, what? That leaves us with this profit margin for this time. You know what I mean? And this painting, you want it in there for 3 months. I'm going to sell that in a week. Are you kidding me? I got stuff to do. I got a wife that likes shoes and a fancy dog that has to eat expensive food. Because I wanted to be a big shot and get a fancy dog.
There you go. Intensive painting. Intensive painting. You got to get into that.
It never ends. It's like Utah. Do you have your own house? Have you gone down that path yet?
Yes. Yeah. I'm older, so I do have a house. I don't know how young people are going to get into a house anymore, sadly. Yeah. But
what they never tell you, anybody young listening right now or watching or whatever, what nobody will ever tell you, and it's so true. And Utah, back me up, I'm sure. It never ends. You think everything is okay. I got everything handled, everything good. We got to be good for 3 months. I need a break. No, don't ever say that, because then you're suddenly buying a new water heater or something.
Those are very true words. It never, ever ends.
In Greek mythology, it was Sisyphus, I think was the guy's name, the guy that pushed the boulder up the hill and then it would roll back down. That's what owning a house is like. It just never, and you never have enough money to cover everything. Yeah, so it's one of those deals. It sucked. Month after that was the roof. The roof. My wife walked into the living room. I'm sitting there and I have this fedora hat on, watching TV. And she's like, why are you wearing your hat sitting in your chair there? And I said, oh, it's raining. It's coming through the roof on me. She goes, most people would just move. I'm like, I don't know if it's going to help. So, yeah. Those are not cheap, folks.
No, they are not.
And, of course, we had to get the metal roof. And it just...
Probably wise.
Yeah. You know, I didn't want to replace it. But they're like, you can go shingles, but you'll probably have to replace it in 5 years. I'm like, 5 years? No. What do I have to get so I don't have to replace it for 500 years? That's what we're going for. I want to be long gone, not my issue. Anyhow, I don't know, the pyramid, I guess. Those things last forever. So let me ask you this, Utah. When you were a kid, did you always know, was music, showbiz, like what you knew that's what you were going to be doing?
Oh, I didn't think I would be doing it, but I was certainly around a lot of music. My parents had a lot of music, and my mother played a couple different instruments and dabbled in it quite a bit and sang and... So it was definitely around me, and I was coming of age in the best time of rock music ever also.
I hear you. And it's a fantastic way to meet girls, if that's your bag. I've always been jealous of that. I'll never forget. This is a very true story. I think I was grade 7, so it would be 13, 14, something like that, and 7 or 8 in the grade. And there was a gal, she had long legs, and I liked her a lot. She was dynamite on a Saturday night, baby. I thought she was pretty all right. And she was really, this was the 80s, she was really into Duran Duran. She wanted to go to the coming concert. And so I was working little jobs and washing dishes and shit at a local restaurant. And I got my money to got tickets, took her, paid my older sister's boyfriend to drive us down to Hobo Arena, downtown Detroit. Oh, yeah. And we saw the show. But during the show, so I didn't care about music or bands or concerts really that much. I liked her. That's why I was there. But I was getting into it. They had some toe tappers going on, and 15,000 people were into it. And their bass player, he was doing the I can't hear you thing to pump the crowd up, like rock star.
Oh, yeah.
And he went to the lip of the stage and he put his hand up to his ear. I didn't really notice the guy looked like a fashion model or something. Yeah, this might have had something to do with it. In retrospect, looking back on it, at the time, I wasn't even aware of that. But I saw 12, 13,000 girls scream like they were seeing the Beatles on Ed Sullivan when he did that. And I said to myself, I said, I have to get a bass guitar. This has to happen. This is a priority in my life now. Bass guitar must happen. So I got home from the show, came in the house. My dad was still up, and he's at the table, and he looked at me, and he goes, "How was the show? Did you have a good time?" Told him the bass player's story, thinking Christmas is coming. Maybe I'll be getting a bass under the tree. And he just shook his head, and he looked down, and he goes, "Son, we've had a baby grand piano for 10 years in the living room. I've never seen you once look in its direction, sit at it, play chopsticks on it at least. You've had no interest in this." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're right." And he goes, "Look," he goes, "I'm not putting the bass player down or anything," he said, "but he's obviously good at what he does." And he got that type of reaction. He said, "You're pretty good at drawing. Why don't you stick with that and get real good at that, and maybe someday you can have that type of reaction doing what your gift is." Fast forward a couple years. I'm away at art school in Boston, and we're all hanging out at this bar restaurant called the Harp Pub, called the Harp and Bard. And a lot of the art students hang out there. And some ballerinas were in there from the performing side, the performance arts side of college. And we're looking at them, and they're looking around, and we're all hanging out. And I whipped out my sketch pad and I started drawing one of them. It took about, 4 minutes. The whole gaggle, I think there was like 5 or 6 of them, were all over. "Oh, what are you doing there?" And I couldn't believe it. I was like Luke Skywalker in Star Wars when the ghost of Ben Kenobi appeared. I'm like, and it was my father going, "Yeah, see, I told you." I'm like, "Man, the old man was right. Stick with what you're good at." It's very true. So when did you start, you're around music, your mom's playing and stuff, there's access to instruments and what, did you just start and then you said, "Man, I'm liking this, I'm good at it, I'm liking this"?
Yeah, I started out like a lot of kids did. I joined the band and started out on the saxophone and then ended up switching to the drums in high school.
Nice.
And then that's when I first got my first guitar because I wanted to be a rock star, yeah.
That is awesome. Today, we are recording this, ladies and gentlemen, on the 6th of November. And I do a morning blog, and I get a little email every morning that tells me what weird holiday is on today. Today's weird right. holiday. And one of them today, and when you said saxophone, I remember seeing it. It's National Saxophone Day today.
Yes, it is. That is correct.
Yeah, it's very apropos. That's cool, man. That is cool. Now, did things change? I imagine for me, I was always drawing stuff, and I was drawing stuff at a Denny's hanging out with my friends one day, and some grown up, some stranger, I had no idea who this guy was, but he came up and he looked at what I was doing. He goes, "I'll pay you $150 for that if you sign it." And of course I did, but everything changed at that moment. Then I started getting serious. Then I'm checking out art schools. I'm making a plan and reading books, and there was no internet then. But yeah, I got real serious. Most musicians I have known that personally and stuff, they tell me that a very similar story, a similar moment happens the first paid gig where you're playing in front of people and you're not going to buy cars with the money or anything yet. But it's different. It was a marked difference. Did you notice that? Did that anything like that happen with you?
No, I'm going to say that I do not fit that mold. Yeah.
Awesome.
I don't know. yeah, that wouldn't be me.
I gotcha. Yeah, that's cool, though. That's cool. But you did get to a point where you're playing at, like, bars and stuff, right? In clubs and venues, restaurants and the like, and probably house parties. Imagine, I don't know. I listened to the Amish Ninja, and I'm like, oh, yeah, these guys would be playing every house party I knew of in high school and college. They just would be. They're that type of act. Fun.
That's actually a true story, that Amish Ninja.
Wow, better.
Yeah, it absolutely was. I was late showing up at camp, and my father-in-law was sitting there. And he had already was about 6 deep in some good brew. And he claims I was 6 hours late. I was really only a couple hours late. But he had saved me half a hoagie. And he just bitched at me all day, bitched at me all weekend. I just nonstop, everything, the rope tie and everything. And I finally got up when everybody was asleep and I just wrote that because I was tired of him laying into me. And he is known as the Amish Ninja in this area. That's his moniker around here. He's lived a very exciting and thrilling and full life. So it's and we have a video that goes with that song as well. Also, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool, man. That is cool. I hope to be an old man like that someday. I hardly ever drank. And thank God when he did, he was a Marine, a Vietnam veteran, and he never talked about the war until he started drinking. And then he started the story. And I'm like, I don't want to know this stuff about my, this is making me, this is hard to hear. This is like a horror movie or something. I can't handle this. It was a good thing he didn't drink because I would have heard more of it.
I'm gonna give a shout out to the Amish Ninja's dad. He actually stormed the beaches of Tinian and Saipan back in World War II as a Marine. And he, on the 75th day of V-Day, I was able to do an interview with him and catch his story. And it's really pretty cool. I probably should turn that over to the archives or something.
Those guys, that generation of people.
Yes.
And guys, I'm not making light of it. Nothing but respect. I couldn't have done it, I don't think. But you know what? My life wasn't on the line. You can probably do a lot if you're looking down that barrel. But yeah, they were hardcore, man. Hardcore.
They're like the real deal.
Yeah.
They were.
And face it. On YouTube, they have these kids. Some are older, but usually kids. And they do these movie reaction videos where they watch the movie and they react to it. And I find nothing more entertaining. A couple of them. There's a basic, boring girl trying to sit down and watch John Carpenter's The Thing. And it starts out and they're trying to shoot that dog, the Norwegians. And I'm like, oh, and they're like, oh, the dog. And I'm like, just wait when the thing splits in half.
Spoiler.
Yeah, I've seen that movie. I'm sure they have. But if you haven't, go watch it. It's like watching Fantasia. It's a nice fairy tale of a story set in Antarctica.
Yeah.
But my other favorite is these poor kids. And they'll be cutesy and they'll be fun. And they're young people. And they try to watch Saving Private Ryan. And I'm like, okay, about 5 minutes into this, let's watch. Because from what I understand, though, I have no personal experience with this. I guess that's the real thing, that they were as best they could get it. It's hard to watch. That guy picks his arm up. Man, that is a rough. And if you think about the reality of people like your grandfather and all these guys of that generation, they were like young. They were like,
yeah, they were pretty 20 young.
20 years old and having to. Today, people, I'm having an anxiety attack. I'm not putting anybody with anxiety down, folks. I'm just saying, if I was in Saving Private Ryan, like the real D-Day or one of those, any of those scenarios or theaters of conflict, I would be anxious. I got to tell you, I would be having anxiety attacks. And I'm not making a joke about any of that, but I'm just trying to exclamation point how serious those were. Ooh. I couldn't handle it. But people did, thank God. German, and both German and Japanese are hard to speak. I wouldn't be doing well if it wasn't for those guys. That's all I'm saying. It's crazy. So you guys have been together 15 years. That is so cool that a band can keep it together.
The brand has been around 15 years. I'm the only remaining original member.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Gotcha. I was going to say, because life happens, man. People have kids and stuff, and it's hard. A band, I think, especially as people age up into other things in life that are happening, it's hard to maintain that.
It is. I always liken a band to being in a bad marriage times however many members are in the band. So it's takes a lot of work, you know, and to get along and to agree and to accomplish something and have a work towards the same goal.
And then the bass player or the guitar player, John Lennon, shows up with his wife, Yoko, and she's got ideas for everybody.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Good ideas, too.
Oh, man. I thought she just turned 90 something. God bless her.
Oh, geez.
You know? I used to say when I was younger, and I wasn't facing, I wasn't on the downhill side of the of life, I'd say, oh, I hope to live to be that old someday. No, it's hard now, you know what I mean? And like my house, it just keeps, stuff keeps happening every day. It sucks. I'm telling you, if you're young watching this, eat healthy. Listen, get a girl. Let her tell you what to eat so you're eating healthy. Go to the gym.
Take care of yourself. I agree with you.
I did not do that, and that was a fatal mistake. I'm sitting there eating honey buns and smoking cigarettes at the same time. I didn't do any of that shit. At least Utah has to somewhat maintain, and he's on stage. He chose the art where it helps to look good. I'm a painter. I look like a toad because it doesn't matter. They're just like, what does the painting look like? We don't care about you. And that's fine. That's fine. But it isn't in first thing in the morning. I wake up, I'm like the Tin Man before he got the oil can. I'm barely moving.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just, I move my neck. It sounds like there's grape nuts inside my neck. I don't know how what that's about. It's terrible. I get now on my, thank God it's not on my right hand. This is the latest in Jamie's tale of woe, he calls existence. I've developed this thing in my left middle finger called trigger finger.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, where your finger locks up.
Yeah.
And so I have special exercises I got to do every day for that. They're like, I'm like, can't you fix it? And they're like, well, surgery, you really want us to operate on your hand? I'm like, no, I don't. Thanks for the option. I'll do the exercises. They're like, those will work for a while. God damn it. Stuff happens, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. So let me ask you, let's play a track so people know what we're talking about.
All right.
We've got three tracks that they sent us over that they prefer we play. No, not one of them. The Amish Ninja is not one of them. And I'm disappointed in that. But I pushed that single enough. Go check it out, everybody. We've got Kelso Beach, Life by the Numbers with Miss Freddie, and Me for Me. What should we hit people with first, Utah?
I'll tell you what. We just got back from Nashville literally this weekend because Kelso Beach was nominated as Song of the Year for the Josie Music Awards.
Yeah, that was going on down there.
Yeah, we got to go to the Grand Ole Opry and not receive our award because we didn't win. But congratulations to everybody who did.
Always nice to be nominated.
It really is. And we love the song. It's a very good song. We feel good about it. And it's been very well received. And we can roll with that tune.
No, that's Life by the Numbers.
No, Kelso Beach.
Kelso Beach.
Yep.
Kelso Beach. Here it is, everybody. This is Noble Hops, Kelso Beach. Zebra.
Those I choose. fight along with those by your side. And I know my life's been better those I choose.
And we're back, everybody. That was Kelso Beach. Kelso Beach, nominated at the Josie Awards this year. That's a pretty big thing. I remember I first started working with Michael Stover from MTS. I'm thinking I started doing the podcast in 2013. It had to be 2014. Had to be. It might have been 2013. But so I've been working with him a long time. And I remember him first mentioning the Josie Awards, and I had never heard of it before. And then I started hearing about it everywhere and have still since. It's a big deal.
For independent artists, it really is. And I recommend anybody out there who's an independent artist to hit their website and submit your music.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's free to do. You submit it and be hop in there and see.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. In the indie film world, whenever... Oh, we submitted to the, they usually charge a minimum $100 per submission, and you don't get it back. That's, it's like insurance. Like you don't, if they don't even pick you to be in the thing, and everybody's, yeah, so what, Jamie, it's $100. Yeah. Times that now times, say you're entering 50 different things, that adds up. That's why it costs money to make movies. Yeah. All the independent artists, no matter what type of art you're doing, independent music, same thing. I bitch about this so much. I know these, I'll meet these bands that are just starting out and they're going, they'll tell me because they saw in the Doors movie, this is how it works. Apparently you go in the studio with absolutely no ideas and then you lay around for until the muse strikes you and record a hit song. I'm like, that isn't how it works.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Let me know how that works.
Studio is like riding in a taxi cab. The meter is running by the second. I said, my advice, get as much done beforehand before you're paying for that taxi ride. They got to learn this stuff. But yeah, I didn't know that about the Josie Awards. That's cool. That is cool. That's a big deal. We have a lot of MTS folks on the show and whatnot. And so all weekend long, my social media feeds were just jam-packed with Elliot, Connor, pictures and Pam Ross and all the whole gang, the whole MTS gang there. And yeah, Mike's smart for having you guys submit on that because I think it's fantastic. I'm sorry you didn't win though, because that's a great song. That is a great song. Let me ask you this. It is so great. I hear it. You have to understand, I listen to music. I'm a fan of music, all kinds of music, really. But I don't know. I'm not in that business. I'm not in that world and whatnot. So when I hear that, I'm like, yeah, it's perfect. It sounds great. Utah and the boys just rolled out of bed on a Tuesday morning and hit play and record on the boombox, and they got it done, right? 3-4 hours or something like that. And then you start talking to people and you're like, oh, that same thing happens in my world. People look at a painting and they're like, ah, Jamie rolled out of bed this morning. Just knocked that out. No, Jamie ripped his hair out and it fought. He wanted to throw it in the street for about a week and jump up and down on it. Sometimes they come easy, very rarely, and more than often than not, they come hard. But you can never tell by just looking at the finished piece. There's a whole thing with that. And so I like to ask my musician friends, to me, that sounds like an easy one because it's so good and polished and it, you didn't even have to send it to mastering, I bet. That sounds mastered.
No, we had it mastered for sure. And we recorded that with our engineer and producer, Jazz Byers. And it's funny, you'd mentioned the thing in the Antarctica earlier. He actually made it to the South Pole the first part of this year, not once, but twice. And I'm going to give a shameless plug here because he has a show called Jazz's Rock and Road Show. And you can catch a whole bunch of Western Pennsylvania-based bands and see his adventures all over the world, including the Antarctica and the South Pole.
That's amazing, man. If folks. You're not going to see that on my show. I'm not going to Antarctica. The movie The Thing.
Exactly.
Remember when you said that guy had a heart attack and he's trying to resuscitate him with the, I don't know what they're called, the clear?
Yeah.
Oh, that was bad. People haven't seen that movie. They're like, what the hell is he talking about?
Spoiler again.
Yeah. Anytime you see somebody using those paddle things in a show, a hospital show or something, after you see that movie, as you're watching that in the other show, that image will pop into your head. I guarantee you. But no, that's cool, man. He does all that. That is, see, I love this, though. There needs to be more people doing podcasts and YouTube and stuff like that, because really, independent art is where it's at. Saved us during the pandemic. Saved us. Everybody, nobody could film. I'm like trying to watch The Blacklist and they're making half of it a cartoon. I'm like, this isn't nearly as good. But I get that's what they had to do. But I ran out of stuff to watch and be entertained by. So I went, okay, what are the independent people doing? Let's got us through. Got me through, at least.
Yeah. No, I'm all about the independent music scene. I actually host my own radio show with the Rock Doctor Bob Cupp on The Rock Station 97.7.
Nice.
And we've been going since July 1st of 2012. And we promote the local artists in Western Pennsylvania and beyond, because a lot of them actually head out and go to LA or go to Nashville or go to other parts of the country to make their way. And so we always like to reconnect with them as well.
Absolutely. I had a guest. I haven't had him on in a long time. I don't even know if he's still in music. I have no idea. I should really try to check in with him. He had it smart. He did it smart. He lived, where the hell did he live? Massachusetts or New Hampshire or someplace far away. And he would go down. He got a gig. He would go down for 3 months and play it somewhere in the Florida Keys.
Okay.
And he said, yeah, he goes, instead of touring, I do that because all the tourists come to me. I'm still selling the same amount of CDs and they're going out everywhere because it's all tourists. And I'm like, and you don't have to travel that, because traveling sucks.
That is part of my retirement plan, as long as cash is still around.
Yeah.
That is 100% part of my retirement plan.
I'm telling you. That's a whole nother topic. I was talking to somebody and they're on the West Coast, they're out of LA. And they were telling, I guess the latest trend out there is where venues will want part of the merch sales.
Like, yes, I've heard of that.
I'm like, screw that. Are you kidding me? The bands already have to guarantee X amount of tickets, and now you're trying to take the merch from them? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm split on that because I'm a promoter as well, and I think it depends on what the deal is.
That's true.
If you're guaranteeing an artist a decent sum of money and you're providing everything, including a lot of the crowd, they wouldn't be in that situation. Taking a little cut of that doesn't hurt. But if you're asking them to guarantee and make guarantees and sell tickets and stuff, then I agree. Keep your hands off.
Yeah, you got to. And the thing is, the majority of independent art, majority of musicians, let me put it that way, they're good at making music. That's right. Their focus. And as a promoter too, those are two entirely different worlds. You know what I mean? As a band member, a working musician, you're like, yeah, I don't want to see anybody shortchanged, but I really don't care if Bob the bartender makes X amount tonight. You know what I mean? That's not my... No, as a promoter, you're like, I got to see Bob tomorrow. You know what I mean? It might be my interest. I want a drink. I want there to be some alcohol in it. Hey, Bob, this is nothing but ice and water. What the hell?
Bartender.
Yeah, I get it. Tough job. But there's worse. Could be maintenance at the club, cleaning the women's room. Every maintenance guy at every club I've ever known, they say the guys' bathrooms aren't bad. They're not that bad. That's typical what you'd expect. The women's room, like a horror show. I don't know why that is, because they're all dainty and cute and demure.
Yeah, they are. Yep, all of them.
Except when the door closes, apparently. Jesus. I had to get false eyelashes off the ceiling. How did they get on the ceiling? I don't know. I can't tell that story. I was going to tell an off-color story about my wife and some of her girlfriends. They were all watching TV one night over. I had to leave the room. I walked through the room and I'm like, I got to get out of here. This is too much. This is like out of a Mel Brooks movie or something. Burping and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, the sweet angels are not that sweet tonight. Bad. It's bad. I guess the Bailey's was flowing or something. I don't know.
Probably.
But yeah. Let's play another track. Now we've got two remaining that we're going to knock out here. Okay. Life by the Numbers with Miss Freddy and Me for Me. What should we go with next?
Well, let's do Life by the Numbers. That is our most recent single. We dropped that on July 4th, and we just call that our advice to the world, because I think life can be pretty simple if you let it be simple. Just relax.
I always tell people, man, they're like, oh, this is happening. I'm like, look, I'm an old man now, so I've learned a couple things. If you focus on nothing but shit's what you're going to have.
I think that does come with age. I really do, because I'll tell you what, there was a time where I'd be right in your face. I'd be ready to throw down. I'm ready to go. And
looking at me.
Bothering it any. I'm not bothered with any of it anymore. Have fun, everybody.
My dad got that way before, as he got older, because he was a Sanger's Marine. And then he got to a point, I was driving in the car with him, and some guy cut him off. I'm like, Dad, that guy cut you off. I'm like waiting for it, you know?
Yeah, exactly,
I'm waiting, hoping it won't come out on me because I'm in proximity, but I know it's coming, and it never came. It didn't happen. And he looked and he goes, chuckled a little bit. He goes, I guess he had somewhere to be. I don't know. Maybe he's a doctor and he's late for surgery or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, what doppelganger are you? Are you a pod person? What happened? It's not what I was expecting at all. And I look forward to that now. I remember that moment and I'm like, man, I can't wait till I get to that point where I just stop giving a shit over stupid stuff, over nonsense.
Yep, I agree.
It'll be great. Anyway, folks. Here's the track. This is Noble Hops, Life by the Numbers with Miss Freddy.
It can be. your kids by living and loving and laughing and being free. It don't matter what your color, if you're rich or poor. Finish the fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How we finish the fight. Yeah, yeah.
1, 2, 3. If you listen to me, I can't tell you how easy it can be. For 5 cents, you can get your kid.
And we're back. Life by the numbers. Let me ask you, Utah, these are all out right now, right? People can buy these?
Yes. Yep, they're all available.
Very cool. And folks, write down below, if you're watching this on YouTube or if you're listening to it on the podcast, Spotify, wherever, in the description here are all clickable links to everything Noble Hops related. All the streaming, direct streaming things. Definitely follow these guys, subscribe, do what you got to do, and because they're ones to watch. This is, you know what, any of you youngsters that do that, the TikTok, I don't know how that, I am so stupid, I am so old. This happened last week, maybe it was a week before. I told my wife, Danny, she's a little younger than me, I said, hey, babe, I think I need to start a TikTok. I can make hearts with out of my hands and do a little jig or something on the TikTok. Seems what everybody's doing. But yeah. You have to have a phone to use TikTok. You don't have a phone.
That's great.
I love didn't it. Know that. Yeah, I'm like, I can't do it on the computer. She goes, no, you cannot. Before I get email or DMs, as she calls them, I don't have a phone, folks, not because I'm cool and anti-establishment, which I am all those things. I'm an old punk rocker. But I don't have a phone because the phones are $1,000 a piece and I have a bad habit of setting things down and forgetting about them. When digital cameras came out at first, they were $1,000 a piece. I went through 7 of them. That's
$7,000.
One went through the washing machine and a pants pocket.
Yeah.
I'm not good at that. So that, and my wife has a phone. If I need to know if the missiles are flying, she's going to tell me. So I got a voicemail. You can leave me a voicemail.
There you go.
But you can't do a TikTok on a voicemail.
No, that's not how it works.
But any of the youngsters out there or people that do TikTok, I've watched a lot of TikToks just because I sleep in the same bed as my wife before bed. I lay down in the bed and I'm ready to go to sleep. That's my mission. That's my plan. Usually takes me about 2 minutes or so to get into sleep mode. Not my wife. 2 hours of scrolling endlessly through TikToks. All the while, I'm asleep, but it's seeping into my subconscious. So I have these dreams where ninjas are making heart hands and doing a jig. And I'm like, what is happening?
You end up with a painting that, like what's behind you there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I just did that to piss somebody off, to be honest with you. Every year, I do a couple Christmas paintings. Christmas-themed paintings to make weird wrapping paper and stuff for our merch store.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And somebody, I don't know, was bitching about last year. I had it was a Santa sleigh and a UFO. And they're like, that's just very weird to put on Christmas cards. And so I'm like, oh, you want weird? Okay. Challenge accepted.
That's great.
The hell with selling wrapping paper. We're just going to make some weird shit and send it to you with something nice inside. Pack of tea or something. Anyway, there's a lot of truth to that. But no, add them to you. I've never seen a TikTok without music in it. So I don't know how it works. If you got to pay it, you got to buy that. You probably do. I don't know. Put their music in your TikToks is all I'm saying.
There you go. Put yeah.
Playlists.
I don't know how it works, but go ahead. Please do that.
You get the word out. And here's the thing, folks. If you discover a cool movie or a band or whatever, the reason you're friends with the friends that you're friends with is common interest. You guys all like the same thing. That's why you're friends. So if the friend group has not discovered Noble Hops per se or whatever, and you bring that to the game, to the table, you're like, check out this band. I just found the next big thing here. You are automatically now the party store. You're like, when Utah and I grew up, there was an older kid that always worked. No matter where you went in the country, if you went into a record store, there was some music snob who knew everything about music. I'm like, I'm looking for something like, oh, you might check out this German folk band out of Bavaria or something. He knew all that stuff. And I thought he was the smartest person in the world. Nobody's smarter. You'll be on par with that guy.
There you go.
You've discovered the next thing, at least with your friend group. That's pretty cool. You know what I mean? What is one of your favorite things about being a working musician? Having a band and being it, living the dream. Well, everybody wants to be doing what you're doing.
You know? Anybody can. Get that bass guitar, man. It's for me, it's the creativity and the guys I'm currently playing with. We just have a blast. I love the camaraderie that we have. And also when somebody says, hey, I'll give you $150 for that, and if you autograph it for me right now. We love going to places we've never played. They don't know who we are. And at the end of that, to see the reaction and have people come up to us and talk about the songs that we just played and want to know more about us, that's one of the most rewarding aspects of this entire thing. Because just like your artwork or anybody writes a book or whatever people do, people that are passionate about something, you're putting your heart and soul. That's a piece of you that goes into that. And so to be able to see that be received and accepted, that's huge. That's just a human great.
I think any kind of artist just wants some connection.
Yeah.
To people dig what they're, not even necessarily dig it, but at least understand kind of the direction they're going, you know what I mean? And what they're about. Man, musicians, I've always been jealous. I've told this story so many times on the show, but it's so apropos and so true. I don't know if this works for women. I don't have that perspective, that point of view. Every guy I know, the very first time they've ever had a real kiss with a girl, not their Aunt Tilly kissing them on the cheek, but like a real kiss, they can tell you what music was on in the car, at the party, or the concert, wherever they were at. There was probably some music going on, and they can tell you it's burned into their brain. Now you ask the same, and that's every guy I know can do that. You ask the same question, like, what painting was hanging on the wall? But not a clue. They never saw any of that. Did not exist. No recollection whatsoever. Music, however, can burn itself into a young man's brain, his soul. And basically, I'll give you a good example too. All music made after that will probably pretty much suck. You know what I mean?
Good point.
If they're an older brother, especially, and they'll tell you, they'll list why it sucks and how nobody's as good as Cheap Trick's Live at Budokan.
Oh, man. That's America's greatest rock and roll band right there, buddy. You just struck it with me right there. Cheap Trick is it. They are the real deal. America's greatest rock and roll.
I liked Next Position Please, even. That's arguably one of their underrated albums, but didn't do that well, but I dug it.
Huge fan of them. I've seen them in too many states and too many times in the last 50 years, 45 years.
What is it? I can't remember it now, but I was driving across the country many years ago. I went through, was it Rockford or Rock Point or something, Rock, Illinois, where they were out of.
Rockford, Illinois. I've been there. Rockford, I was at their 25th anniversary concert there.
There you go. But I saw it on the map and I'm like, and it wasn't in, it was a 45 minute jaunt over just to, I got to go over there and drive through the town at least. Yeah. It was no, I wasn't cool. I wasn't cool like Utah. I didn't get to go to a concert and see them. No, I think it was about, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It wasn't that exciting, but pretty much looked like every other little town in Illinois, but they did something right. Something was in the water. Cool. I forgot to ask after we came back from playing the last track, who is Miss Freddie? What is that about?
She is Pittsburgh's Lady of the Blues here. And she's just amazing. And when I wrote Life by the Numbers, there's a bridge section in there. And it's just where the gospel is laid down, so to speak. And I'm like, we need some gospel over that. And I've known her for a good number of years. So I reached out and she was kind enough to come in. It was Mother's Day. She just got done working at the hospital. And then she just come in and threw that down for us at Jazz's studio, Rattle Clack Studio. And we were so excited. I'm telling you, Jamie, it was a thrill to listen to that back and go, wow, fantastic. This is amazing.
That's fantastic. Like I said, I grew up in Detroit. I'm obviously a soul fan. You couldn't grow up in Detroit without being one.
Yeah, sure.
And outside of, as far as soul music goes, Philly soul, man, you can't beat it. A couple years ago, I had this promoter and he's like, hey, have you ever heard of Bunny Singler or Siegler? And I'm like, yeah, man, Philadelphia. And I said, I saw him on Soul Train when I was a kid. Yeah, of course. And he goes, you like to have him on the show? I'm like, yes, I would. And so we did. And he passed on shortly after that. But I was so amazed. I could do a 6-hour podcast with him, just hearing the stories and stuff of, and they weren't all salacious or anything like that. There was a few, but it was just a different time and a different world. And I was just fascinated by that. So I get where you're coming from. When you meet an icon like that, and then they're working on your art with you.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ. How cool is that?
And she was just voted the number one blues artist in all of Pittsburgh, too, this year.
Nice. I like that. I like that a lot. I'm jealous. And it's amazing. And you've been in the business long enough, too. You meet all. There's this weird point where you're meeting people that you've looked up to. And, you know, you're glad that they're not living the Motley Crue lifestyle or whatever. Because you don't want anybody, that's usually, especially when they're a little older, nobody wants to see older people doing that. It's just sad at that point. But then you realize also that the regular people, they're doing their thing and they're pretty cool. And then you're like, yeah, this guy's maybe too boring for me. You know what I mean? I wish they were a little more, you don't have to bite the head off a bat or something, but come on, man, give me something here. Give me something. I want to see a nylon stocking in the green room. And, oh, yeah, I don't know who's that. It got left here last night.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see what happened. I just want the impression of something zany going on. No, I'm half kidding, folks. I'm half kidding. But, yeah, it's cool. I've had that both ways. And I'm sure you're in radio and stuff. You meet people, and it's great. You're like, oh, it's a regular person. This is cool.
Yeah, 100%.
Fantastic. And then you meet somebody who you think is going to be that way, and they're not. It's Sebastian Bach or suddenly or something. And you're like, Jesus, bro. Settle down there, rock star. Settle and tone it down a little bit. That's always a drag when you meet those people. And it happens. It happens. But it's crazy. It's crazy. How long? What's the process? I hate that question. I know it's different for every track, but is it a long process on average between conception of a song, get the idea for something, And then you're sending, it's out, you're putting it, it's going to distribution. It's people can buy it. Is that a long, is, or does it just vary widely?
No, for us, it probably is. But we're at a pace that we're comfortable with, and that's what really matters. You got to let things breathe, too. You don't want to just stack everything on top of everything. Like our last single, we dropped it on July 4th, and we do, like you said, this is recording November 6th. We do have a brand new song we are dropping on Veterans Day, November 11th. So that will be available. It's called The Trunk, and that'll be our final release of this year.
I gotcha. Folks, when that's released on Veterans Day, I will blast that out on all my social media and whatnot.
I appreciate that greatly.
About that. Very cool. And again, tip of the hat to all the veterans out there and their families and everything they do have done. It's very cool. It's very cool. And different from Memorial Day. If you don't know the difference between those two, you got a computer in your pocket with all of human knowledge. Use it.
Or just get on Facebook and read everybody telling you what the difference is.
Right. Yeah,
they'll let you know. They'll let you know how stupid you are.
Yeah, it's very true.
That's a place where everybody gets along.
I don't post anything on social media now unless I Google search it first. If I hear somebody, and it was very true. I had totally, Connie Francis, the famous 60s, 50s yeah. maybe, I don't know, old timey singer, passed away this July. I completely forgot about it. And she was fantastic. It's totally terrible that I had forgotten about it. But I'm scrolling through Facebook. Yesterday this happened and somebody had posted, oh, rest in peace, Connie Francis. And I'm like, really? So I right click, yeah. Open a new tab, check in Variety. And they're like, well, the AI thing pops up. No, you dummy. That was July. And I'm like, I can probably say it a little nicer on their post, but I would just DM them directly and say, I don't realize, but your dates are off here, which I did. No use in being a jerk about it. They probably didn't know. They probably got poor information somewhere else themselves.
Well, you should check your information always.
Yeah, I agree.
Accepting it blindly is not the smartest thing to do.
No. Yeah, you don't buy a car without having yourself or look.
Some people do now. You buy a car online, they just deliver it to you.
Oh, man. I couldn't do that. The ghost of my father would come back and smack me in the back of the head.
Deservedly.
Yeah, deservedly. I hate working on cars. It's one of the things I loathe to do. I have always hated it. My dad was a mechanical engineer. For fun, he liked working on cars. Let's take the engine apart this Saturday and clean it and then put it back together. Won't that be great? No, Dad, it won't. And I remember I'd be out there invariably helping him. I was the only boy in the family. And that just not saying girls can't work on cars, folks. I'm just telling you.
Yes, my you got to correct yourself all the time. Anyway.
Yes.
Good save there, Jamie.
Jesus Christ. But no, I'd be out there and I'm thinking, I hated it. I hated it. And my dad would be like, you got to learn this stuff. And I said, Dad, I'm going to be a famous artist when I get older. I'm going to be like Picasso. I don't think he had a car. He had a driver, I'm sure. My dad's, how do you know? How will you know if you're getting ripped off when somebody's making a repair? Because you won't know how it works or if they're just bullshitting you. And there's been many times in my life when I sure was glad that I had sat out there and soaked that knowledge in. But maybe the famous artist was having an off week and having to get into the coffee can to get the part I needed or something because the wife had to go to work. I was glad I knew how to do that, certain things. Changing brake pads, things like that. Yeah, it's the worst, but it's good to know. I don't know. I guess the lesson there, listen to your parents. That's all I'm saying. They usually know what they're talking about most
Never
times.
Happens anyway, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Toss that advice out the window there.
Yeah, that's very true. You have kids?
Yeah, all grown.
Wow. No, are they into music as well?
Yeah, my son picks at the guitar and sings some and hits some open mics every now and then, yeah.
Nice. That's got to make you kind of,
Pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Very, very cool. Well, folks, the last track we're playing tonight is Me for Me. Now, I have no idea what this track's about. I would imagine it's about Utah.
Yeah.
I'm making a dumb joke, everybody. Good.
It's my most personal song I've written, probably. And we often introduce it as, this is a song I wrote about me for me. But yeah.
Cool, man. That's cool. Here it is, everybody. This is Noble Hobbs, Me for Me.
Sitting in the dark, just playing my guitar, wondering how long and how far this life will take me until the bitter end. And when that time comes, will I still call you a friend? But I'm just a man who at times is cut and ran. But there have been times when I also took a stand. Ain't looking for a stuck here in my past.
And we're back, everybody. We're back. Me for Me. Again, these are available no matter where you are in the world. You got an email address, you can get them. If you know somebody's email, you know what? I always say this, but it's very true. If you work in an office setting, selling insurance, whatever it is you're doing, and Linda is in a couple cubicles down and she's all right on a Saturday night, pretty dynamite. It's her birthday coming up. Every single guy in the place, probably some that aren't, are going to buy her a card or maybe a flower or something. They're going to try to woo her. That's pedestrian. That's amateur hour, baby. You're James Bond. You got her email. Buy her a single. Nobody's going to do that. And you're going to set yourself apart from the herd.
A great idea.
I'm telling you. And it's cheaper than a car. What is it? It's like a buck. Come on. You can't buy a coffee for that. Now, these days, especially. Anywho. That's a great song. That's a great song. Now, is that another one? All these, you play these when you play out. These are all getting played, right?
Yeah. We got about a dozen songs that we play out live that are our own. And then we mix in some songs from a friend of ours who was a great songwriter from this area who is no longer with us. So we want to keep his music alive. And so we at least, you'll always hear at least one of his songs in our,
cool.
during our
Turned
shows.
Up to 10. That is very cool. Yeah, Utah, we're at that age too, man. If it's not people we know personally that's on to the next club or party or whatever, it's icons. Ozzy and all. I loved Ozzy. I'm not a big, wasn't its biggest fan. I probably haven't bought, I think Blizzard of Oz was the last Ozzy album I bought in the 80s. But it was sad to see him go. I'm like, really? I half expected him to come back afterwards, but hasn't happened so far. For me, Bowie was real hard. And Prince hit me. I was like, so I thought Prince was pretty cool. He was weird as hell. He dressed like the Joker. He was weird. But he didn't have a lot of scandal. There was never, you never heard of like Prince getting caught in a bathroom doing lines or something.
Probably the one that hit me the hardest, though, it was many years ago, and he wasn't that old, and that was Freddie Mercury. I just remember.
Oh, that was rough.
I remember the day I was driving home from work, and that came over the radio, and I was just floored, devastated. Yeah. It was a tough one for me.
Leonard Nimoy for me. Oh, that was a rock. Don't talk to me. I couldn't function for a week. I felt like a high school girl in the 60s or something. They're all at that age now, or we're at that age where we're seeing all that. And it's always been that way, folks. This ain't nothing new. People play, come and go. But some of these people, I didn't think we're going to come or go so soon. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But it's cool. Your friend, your comrade there, you're doing that tribute. I like that. Not enough people do that kind of stuff. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, my friend. That's pretty, pretty awesome. Nice. Now, I know you play out a lot. We were talking before we even came on camera that you guys play all the time in the area there specifically. Are you moving out now?
Not as much in our local area. We try to play more than 2 to 3 hours away. That's really where our focus is, because why playing the same old thing over and over? What we're after, we're looking to play in front of new faces and get the brand and the name out there and the music out there. That's the goal.
That's cool. People probably too recognize you from the radio show and stuff like that. They're like, we got to go check this crazy guy out. You know what I mean? His name's Utah. Come on. You know what I mean? He's named after the least crazy state in the country, but it's a cool one. They got dinosaur bones there at the very least.
Got that.
UFO saw, I think it's number two. I think Florida's number one, and then number two is like someplace like that. I don't know. Maybe it's Nevada, Area 51 or something. But
probably Nevada, yeah.
I read somewhere out west there's a lot of that kind of stuff. I was in Jacksonville, Florida, they have this hippie restaurant, pizza place called the Magic Mushroom. And so I'm there with some friends. I was up visiting. They're beach hippies, people I went to college with. This couple and her husband, and we're in there eating she's a hippie. It was eating weird pizza that she picked out and told, and she was right. It was pretty good. Nothing I would have ordered on my own. I think it had strawberries and.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it did. It had strawberries and some kind of like salami or something. It was like a weird combination you would think wouldn't work, but it worked. So we're sitting there having our crazy pizza, and this crazy guy comes in, and we're on the beach up there, and he saw a UFO. He was like, oh my, he's freaked out, and he's excited and jumping up and down. And I'm like, yeah, I think this guy had the magic mushroom pizza or something. So we all went out in the parking lot. We're looking all, the whole restaurant did, and we're looking for the UFO. And then somebody's on their phone and they're like, oh, they did a space launch earlier. You saw the rocket. I'm like, that's disappointing. Let's go in and eat some more weird pizza. That happened. I think that's a lot of the sightings in Florida. That's your trip. Cool. I'm not saying everybody's wrong on that. I have reached the point in my life, folks, where it is very obvious to me. I do not know everything about everything. There's many times in life I thought I knew something and I was wrong on that. But all you can do is course correct. But it's very true. It's very true, Utah. It's very true.
Or you can double down and a fool.
have an aneurysm and have that be your epitaph. Yeah. I used to make a joke at cocktail parties and stuff about how I'm like, I've been to the DMV. Nobody's reading my emails or listening to my stuff. They can't get nothing done. I've been to the post. It's very cute and everything. And then Snowden happened and WikiLeaks. And I'm going. Then I just felt sad for whoever had messed up so bad that it was their job now to read my emails or listen to my phone conversations because, God, how dull, how boring, nothing. It's like our house. If our house was haunted, I would feel bad for the ghosts. We are so, they're like, really, guys, you're watching Fool Us again? Yeah, magic's great, but this is day six in a row that watching Fool Us. So, can you get some new magazines for the coffee table? These are like 7 years old. What is wrong with you? Yeah, we do not live. Everybody thinks we live this exciting life and whatnot. We get two or three exciting parties or something a month, but that's it. It ain't every day. I don't know. Final question, Utah, because you seem pretty cool. Now, you mentioned you have kids. Are you one of the cool parents? Or were you like the dad in the Twisted Sister videos?
I was probably.
Because you're in a rock band.
As you age, you learn and adjust. And so, yeah, I was probably. I raised some stepkids as well. So I was probably a different version at one point in my life versus another point.
I guess.
Let's put it that way. Hey, you only know what you know at the time. And I think that's a valid reason to give a lot of people a break, too, on a lot of things, because life doesn't really come with a manual. And we only know what we know at that time. And hopefully you learn from it and you move on. And you already said it, you correct course. And that's the key thing right there is being
and
able to do that.
Your kids are aging too, in their point of view. I remember being a teenager and my dad got this wild hair up his backside where he had went from with one of the other executives at work out on this guy's yacht, his boat, had a big cabin cruiser. So my dad went and got a cabin cruiser like a couple days later. Had to have one of those now. And his excuse was, well, because I had three sisters and they're all a couple years behind me and ahead of me. He said, you teens, we'd go out on the boat on the weekends and stuff. We were teenagers. Then we did not want to be stuck on a boat with our parents. Are you kidding me? We had malls to go to and girls to meet and stuff. I didn't want to be out on the boat. But I'll tell you what, at the age I am now, sure would be nice to spend a weekend out on that boat with the folks.
Yep. Yeah,
so it's crazy. It's crazy. My wife's parents, they are definitely the cool parents. They were the cool parents and are still the cool people out of their little friend group. Hey, let's have a hockey watch party or you built a pizza oven. Let's all have a pizza thing. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I don't want people over at my house that much. I don't know how you guys do it. Oh my God. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. That was one of the things with COVID. I didn't mind that distance.
We enjoyed driving around quite a bit during COVID. We covered a lot of territory and covered it on our own terms. Kind of nice.
It was funny. My wife is into this thing called cosplaying, where they go to these, they dress, her and her girlfriends dress up like superheroes and shit, and they go to these conventions. And my inner 12-year-old, they'd be at the house getting ready, and they're all walking around the living room, putting on tights and stuff. You know what I mean? My inner 12-year-olds, you won the lottery, man. Are you kidding me? Look at this. It's amazing. But so she knows how to make all this shit. So she made, I had the coolest masks in the world. I had space. I had one with just all kinds of stuff on it. She made me some Indian masks. Very cool stuff. And what I liked about the masks, and I'm not making light of COVID, anybody. People die.
You got to get that disclaimer in there.
Yeah,
you got to do it.
Light of it. But it sure was nice not having to shave every day. Why do I need to shave? I'm just going to the grocery store. I'll just wear the mask. And everybody's, Jamie, COVID stopped 2 years ago. Can you chill with the mask a little? Fine. That's when we start doing the video show. Because it was all audio before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then we start doing, everybody talked me into the video thing. I'm like, I'm going to have to shave every day. I said, I'm gonna be like Utah and grow a goatee that's long that I can braid and just be cool. You know what I mean? Just be cool.
Be cool.
That's right.
Everybody needs to be cool.
They do. That's life right now. Patience. That's another one. The universe is teaching me lessons daily on patience. And I'm doing my best, folks.
It's hard to be patient also at our age because, as a good friend of mine says, we're living in dog years anymore. And it's...
so true. It is so true.
It's a hard reality.
There's just, I don't remember there being this much nonsense. There probably was. I just wasn't aware of it. So it wasn't as obvious. Now I see, I'm like, really? That you're doing this? Are you kidding me? Think. Be smart. I thought fire juggling was a good idea. No, it's not. What are you doing? And the world's different. The world is different. We have some good friends of ours, this little very nice people, a lesbian couple, and they came over. They were real upset one day, just real upset. They've been to a grocery store buying cold cuts, and the guy working the deli counter made a couple comments or something at him. And, oh, you need to date a good guy, whatever it was. And these two are married. It's a married couple. So they were all upset. Of course, my inner punk rock guy, can't walk around with victim on your forehead. You should go and throw a cinder block through that guy's windshield. That's just my advice. And that, and then, so they left and they were all amped up at that point. They left. And then I'm sitting here painting and I'm thinking about that whole interaction. I'm going, the world's different now, Jamie. You don't know who's got a Glock in their glove box or what. So I immediately call them back up. Disregard everything I said. The world is different now. Walk away and be alive. You know what I mean? Flip them off from the car where nobody can see. Jesus Christ. I'm doing my best. I'm not cool in a rock band, but I know people who are. That's got to count for something.
You've made comment about being jealous about musicians and all of that, but here, you got to understand this. The art that you do and the art that musicians do, those are common languages across the entire world. Everybody can understand those and speak those and comprehend them. And even though, despite language barriers and everything else. So there's a lot of commonality there.
Yeah. And neither of us are doing interpretive dance. We're not getting kicked out of the party too soon. I'm teasing it. For any, don't send me emails, interpretive dancers. I have nothing against, nothing but respect for your performance art. I did not just roll my eyes, I promise. That's the trick of the light. Anyway, on that note, everybody subscribe, follow, whatever it is you do on whatever social media site you happen to be on and whatnot. Sign up for, I'm sure you guys got an email list thing, right, on your website?
We should, but we don't.
Okay.
I got to work on that. Good point.
I got you. You are the, me and you, man, we are, I'm telling you, we're on the same page. I don't have one on mine either. Because it's just another thing. And I'm like, really? Does anybody really want to get an email from me? You know what I mean? That's working on a newsletter. I got so much free time. That's how I want to spend it.
Exactly.
Happening. anyhow. But social media is enough, and it's important, and do whatever you got to do. Add their YouTube page. Check all the videos out. They're great and very cool. We got, like I said, links below. And if you are in a band or doing something or whatnot, you need help on the PR side of things, the digital PR side of things, you heard him talk about him before. Mike Stover and the gang over at MTS are fantastic friends to have in your corner. So do what you got to do. I don't know, pick up his wife's dry cleaning, wash their dogs, whatever it is, wax his car. No, you probably got to write a check, but write the check, man. Get people who know what they're doing. Rely on somebody like me who doesn't know what they're doing. Back when Twitter was happening, I tried to do Twitter, and my wife's like, Jamie, you can't hashtag every, you hashtagged the, and that's, I'm like, every word's important. What's wrong with you? No, don't do that. Anywho, very cool. Now, you guys playing somewhere where people come see you in the next couple weeks or next month or something like that?
Yeah, we'll be playing some shows up in Erie, Pennsylvania, and we're playing a show. I don't know when this is going to exactly air, but this Saturday we're part of a big multi-band show at a really cool outdoor venue called Big Rail Brewing in Grove City, Pennsylvania. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that.
There we go. I think it's supposed to air Tuesday, but since you got a gig on Saturday, that little angel's on my shoulder going, Jamie, spend the time tonight. Get this out. Get the word out.
If it's this airs Tuesday, just remember that we dropped a brand new song today then.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Very cool. And everybody, thanks for tuning in and watching and listening for those who listen to the audio. Very cool. It's a weird world. Like I was saying, be patient, be kind. I don't want to sound all hippy dippy, but something I've noticed in life, the world is a mirror. Whatever you put out there comes back to you. So if you're a good hang, suddenly you're hanging out with good hangs. You know what I mean? If you're a creep, that's what you're going to be dealing with. Be a good hang. That's my advice.
There you go. Yeah.
It's easy. Yeah,
it's easy. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
You can check it out in Life by the Numbers. It's that easy.
That's right. That is right. Yeah, we got all the tracks, but we did okay. We're doing all right. Folks, we'll see you next time. Did we miss one, Utah?
No,
we got them all. Yeah, I'm going crazy. Folks, we'll see you next time. Have a good one, and we'll see you soon.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Emma Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.